Hey, welcome to the show. I don't know what happened, but welcome to the show, Tony 2, on this 2020 September. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, with my co-host, Pastor Melvin Burns, the twin. It's just to let you know, home, it's alumni from Muskegon. Welcome back in town, everybody. This information, this show is brought to you by Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. Remember, for all your needs, see the bishop. Okay, we want to thank also Tanzania. Visit Tanzania for sponsoring the show as well. Remember, if you are driving and would like to see the show in person, you can all our media sites, WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106, and you can revisit it. And it's going to be important because of political season, and we're interviewing all the campaigns. So you will have a chance to revisit. My brother, how about the weather?
Good afternoon. It is, again, a beautiful September we're continuing with. We have a 30% chance of rain today with a high of 75. Tomorrow, sunny, low 62, high of 79. Again, Sunday, we have a 50% chance of rain, low 62, high 74. Things begin to cool off a little bit next week. Monday, cloudy, low 55, high 71. Tuesday, 50% chance of rain, low 58, high 68. Thursday, partly cloudy. Wednesday, partly cloudy, low 58, high 70. And next Thursday, partly cloudy, a low of 57 and a high of 73.
We want to remind you, when it's time to interview candidates, we want to make sure that we're giving each candidate equal time. We also make sure that we're down the road. We're not here to pick or endorse. We're here to introduce and also let them speak the issues. We want to talk about issues. Okay. Pastor Melvin Burns, who do we have today?
All right. To our listeners interested in Muskegon County today, we're going to be talking to candidates for the Muskegon County Sheriff race. And in the studio with the microphone now, we have the incumbent sheriff, Michael Poulin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm glad to be here.
It's the first time. We are so happy to have you here. Sheriff, tell people a little bit about yourself.
Pretty much lifelong Muskegon County resident. Grew up, my parents still live in the Nims neighborhood. My father was a graduate of Muskegon Heights High School. My mother went to Muskegon Catholic Central. I live in the city of North Muskegon. My wife, Susan, and I have been married on the 12th, 28 years. We have two adult sons that are off doing their own thing right now. I've been a police officer now. I'm starting my 38th year working here in Muskegon County altogether. I've been with the sheriff's office since 1989. I'm currently in my second term as sheriff here in Muskegon County.
What makes a good sheriff?
Well, I think it's someone who can communicate with people and they know their community. Right. I like to think I'm out and about quite a bit in the community. You know, I do engage in through my career different really boards that don't really have anything to do with law enforcement to be able to stay engaged. You know, I was term limited out for 9 years on Pioneer Resources on their board. I'm currently on the Child Abuse Council's board. I was on Kids Food Basket board, and then also the Health Project. I'm still on their executive board from there. But it's those type of things, staying connected, you know, with your community.
Okay. Sheriff, this is your second term.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about what you feel like you've accomplished in your tenure as sheriff.
You know, one of my mailers that's going out, and so I grabbed this so I have some accurate information so we can share with people. But since being elected in 2016, I started my first term in 2017, and, you know, some of this information I'm talking about really deals with the work that the sheriff's office has done. You know, as your sheriff, there's 16 townships throughout Muskegon County, and the sheriff's office is responsible for providing service to 14 of those townships because they're unincorporated areas. As sheriff, though, I still have a responsibility to every community that's in Muskegon County. But during that time, for the calls of service by the sheriff's office from there since 2017, we've seen a reduction in residential breaking and enterings by 113%, a reduction in larcenies by over 81%, An increase in residential property checks. So that means you're on vacation. You give us a call. You can set it up on our webpage to let us know. And then an officer will go by and check those properties. And we've had an increase of over 87% on those property checks from there. And an almost 10% reduction in aggravated and felonious assaults during that period. All right. So those are some of the services. I mean, and my staff has seen, we had a 23% increase in calls during that period. All right. So we're still doing a lot of good work for the community. A great deal of my focus during my time as sheriff has been in the jail. All right. This is a primary function of the office of the sheriff. And as you guys are aware, in 2015, we opened up a brand new jail. When I took office in 2017, it was a tired, rundown facility that really needed a lot of work. And we've been doing everything we can to really fix that. You know, one of the things is we just finished up a camera project in there. The facility itself, when I took office, had 164 cameras. A lot of blind spots, things weren't being seen. We currently now have 399 cameras inside the facility, better high quality cameras. And we're currently just started this past week on a new, it's called a mezzanine project. It's a $1.9 million project that we got to use the American Rescue Plan dollars for. But what that is on this upper tier in the housing units, the pods, it's just a rail. Individuals will get in fights, try to throw each other off of them. It was a security risk for our guards also. And maybe an individual, trying to commit suicide might hang themselves. But this is a screen that will go all the way up to the ceiling.
Okay.
It's real tight. So it's I don't want to say impossible, but hard to climb or anything like that. So it's going to make it safer for everybody, the inmates and the officers, the staff that have to work there and those individuals coming in to do professional visits also. When we started back in 17, the new jail can house 542 individuals. That's how large it is as far as the beds go. The old jail used to, that was a 370 bed facility, which was staffed by 42 guards. We are currently, and this just happened this week, it has to go through full board this next Monday. It's been I've been talking about this and working on this, since 2017, and with cooperation and work with the County Board of Commissioners and the administration. On Monday, we'll get these five more positions, but we'll have 55 guards working there, which we should, and that makes it safer for everybody. So that's been really good for going on there. When I talk about the focus on the jail, some people really don't understand that an individual that's in a Muskegon County jail or in a county jail. They're returning citizens. They're coming back. And we need to make sure that they're going to stay connected to their community, give them the tools that they need to succeed. And really, one of the things I truly believe in is through the faith-based organizations that we have. We now have a chapel inside the jail. There's never been one before. Through our Reach the Forgotten Ministries, Danny Peoples, he brings individuals in there in different groups and stuff so they can offer those services to individuals. And we've increased programming also by just over 23% inside the jail for individuals because they're going to be returning and some new programs for women also, which has been quite successful.
Now, one that goes into the prison is a chaplain. I get a chance to go in once a month. How important is that, having that relationship with those people coming in, whether it's chapel or other ministries?
Yeah, so the ministry program we have, they'll set up those, different churches and individuals to come in and help. And there's a great deal of volunteers, we help make it work. But it's like anybody else and anything else, right? We do background checks and we check them, things like that for individuals that are coming into the facility. But they... it's important. I got to tell you what, because, if we can get an individual either, I don't even want to say connected, but reconnected, all right, to their faith while they're inside the jail. And then when they're going to be released from the jail, and then we get them back connected with their church, okay, and their community. Those are the types of things that's going to help that individual succeed.
Sure. You say that's important because I worked with, back when it was called Forgotten Man years ago. But sure. Talk about, people often see you when family members are locked up, but to hear people hear you speak now without any interaction with the jail, what is it you'd want people to know in advance if they have a family member, loved one that's in your facility there?
Well, there's a misconception. I don't want to say misconception, but the idea that they'll call for, and people will call to check on something, you know, hey, what time will they be arraigned or something like that. They go, that's not information that we have. All right. And, but I will be honest, if we did have the arraignment information, the time and stuff, we wouldn't give it out though. Okay. Cause there are security issues and things that are going, right? These things have happened. Okay. We have our command staff, and that's who you'd be calling and talking to there. They're going to give you the best information and get you in direct contact with, if you need somebody to speak to you through community mental health. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our local Health West office department, I should say, they have staff that works right out of the county jail. They have office space right there. Okay. And so we can get you connected there. Our medical department, to talk to a nurse or even, you know, get a hold of one of the supervisors there, an RN, we can make that happen. You know, we'll get you to the people you need and make sure you have the right information. But it's just, you know, there's no secrets. All right. I mean, there really aren't. And, you know, sometimes we just don't have all the information, and we're really not trying to push back on people and think we're trying to stall or do something. I mean, once we have information, we'll share it with people.
Now, you mentioned Help West, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, providing tools. What is the key to, because you have people that are continually coming back and back and back into the jail. How can we stop that?
You know, the with the programming that we're offering, and, you know, it's, I don't know if you just saw MLive just did an article on some of the program that we're doing right now, but the, you know, things like the exit program to reduce that recidivism, you know, we need to put individuals in an advantageous position when they're leaving. Mm-hmm. So if one thing, and it was really a simple thing and an easy thing to do. So if you're an individual who gets arrested, either you've done your time or you're going to get out of jail by bond or anything like that, you know, your out date, let's say, you know, it's the 20th, right? On the 20th of whatever month. Well, the 20th comes at midnight. That's your out date. Okay. And that's what was going on. All right. So throughout the night, people were being released. All right. Now I'd want to be out. We all would want to be out, right? Let me go. But letting some, and I say some people that still need the services that we're getting them directed to, mm-hmm. that's not a good time to let them go.
No.
Right? Not at all. So I spoke with the judges just to make sure. And, you know, that working with the judges is, you know, it's typically pretty easy to do. They're very understanding individual people. And so basically what it was, if you're getting released on the 20th, well, you're going to leave our facility on the 19th. During business hours.
Okay.
So we can get you if you have an appointment set up, mm-hmm. or maybe someone to pick you up. All right. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's things like that that will help people succeed. But when we talk about some of the people returning, you know, we went through a period where just over 90% of the individuals that were housed in the county jail were actually mental health patients of Health West. Okay. Right. I mean, I'm talking patients, all right, that, you know, people that they're seeing. You know, right now we're down, I think, around 70%, 75. So, you know, there's in the mental health issues that are going on today, and it's not just with individuals that are incarcerated. You know, we got our crisis intervention training, the CITs for that all the officers in Muskegon County are trained on. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, these forms that they can just fill out right in their cars if they have contact with people. And that information goes right to Health West, because then they can cross-check to find out maybe this is a patient who missed an appointment, something there. So it gets them on their radar, all right, ahead of time. And so we can offer services a little quicker that way. But also it's making sure that the staff has that mental health training and right. that we're looking after them also, because, you know, I'll say this, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know, you know, you gentlemen, but, you know, the normal person really doesn't have that many critical incidences throughout their lifetime. Right. And our law enforcement professionals, it's every week. All right. Yeah. Every week. And we got to make sure their minds and they're staying healthy. That's very important.
Sure. You mentioned the capacity, I think 542.
Do
you,
yes.
And this, I hope it's not an unfair question. Do you know what the current capacity, number of inmates you have?
330.
Okay.
So that's our midnight count, and we're required by statute to run a midnight count every night. Okay. All right. So right now we're at 330. Okay. With the jail mezzanine project that's going on right now, one floor is completely shut down. Each floor holds 241 individuals. Okay. And so it's that alone, even though, I mean, this project's important to do, it does create some complications, right? Because now it's kind of overcrowded. Okay. Right? You know what I mean? I mean, so it's, But staff's doing a fine job working through that. And okay. Everything's going good.
Okay. As you campaign, tell us some of the questions or feedback that you get from people as you're out there on the campaign trail.
You know, the big question it really always is, you know, why? All right. Why do you want to do this? Okay. You know, one, I can tell you it's been basically a lifetime goal for me. You know, I've always wanted to be a police officer my whole life. And, you know, as my career started and working here locally, and then when I got hired at the sheriff's office and knowing, okay, you know, I want this job someday. And so a lifetime goal. I mean, I retired in 2016 as a captain at the sheriff's office. My birthday was on the 18th of April. The filing deadline was the 19th. So it was almost like it was meant to be. You know, I mean, I retired, went downstairs, I filed for office.
Okay.
We started and just haven't looked back. You know, it's you know, I've had a very fortunate, very good law enforcement career. And, you know, working as sheriff, this has got to be one of the greatest jobs in the world, right? Because I get to work with the community and I get to see the impacts and the stuff that we do when we're out there. And the group of individuals that I get to work with, though, I adore every one of them, all right? Because I know the work that they do and the things that they, you know, they have to do. But getting out in the community is the one thing I truly enjoy doing. You know, we put together our ice cream truck, Polar Patrol. I don't know if you guys ever had a chance to see that.
Yep.
Okay. And it's just been a big hit. And, you know, it's available for every law enforcement agency, fire department also. They all utilize it. The thing's utilized all the time. But, yeah, the biggest question is why? Why do you want to do this? You know, even back in 2016, you know, there's a lot going on during that period at the sheriff's office. And it wasn't necessarily that I needed to be the guy, but somebody had to be the person, I should say, to do that. And it's just been a great career. I'll never say never. So, you know, there's no term limits. And as long as the people here in Muskegon County will have me, I would love to be here.
Now, with that said, there's no term limits and you've accomplished so much. What are some of the things that you would like to accomplish in the future?
Well, you know, We've had an opportunity to increase staffing through contracts with townships on our operations side, law enforcement side on the road. We still have at least one more school. I'd like to get an officer in. We Reese Puffer Middle School, and then back up in Holton, we have an officer there at those schools. And, you know, they're 100% funded through partial grants in the townships in those areas. So that works out really well, and it's a great relationship. But I'd like to continue to see that. When I say increase in staffing, you know, our Detective Bureau could use some help as far as some more investigators.
Okay.
Our staff is equipped pretty well, but my big goal, you know, we just turned into the County Board of Commissioners here to the county administration, you know, our goal for this next year. And then what are your three goals for the next 5 years type things, what it was. And well, you know, the old jail is still sitting there, right? It's just a big liability. I mean, they're doing all this beautiful work to the Hall of Justice right now with the new glass and all that kind of stuff. And it's like this big old tumor sitting on the side of it, right? And
right. It's
just empty. We still need to utilize the main floor for moving individuals from the jail to the courthouse. Okay. And but our law enforcement, our operations division, is currently located out on Oak Street, where the old health department used to be, by the old general hospital there. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to do, I mean, when I started at the sheriff's office, we were all under one roof. Right. And I'm pretty big about the whole team concept. You know, when I took office, the jail deputies, the corrections officers, and our law enforcement, they wore different uniforms. Right. We're all in the same uniform now because we're all on the same team. And but I want to get everybody back under the roof. I invited all the county board to come take a tour of this old building that needs to go because it's just a liability. And they agree the building has to go, but it's a way to find the funding. So my, you know, 4 to 5 year goal now is to get that torn down, to see, and we, you know, size and everything, the two, now we don't need a 3-story. I think two floors will do it kind of in that footprint, but we can make it a little bigger, but move our law enforcement operations back. So we're all in the same building, you know, working together.
I want to talk to you about something that happened, that you guys took a different approach in handling. When the Floyd incident happened, talk about the difference, how your staff handled that situation.
So they, you know, we knew that there was going to be a large showing. I don't want to call it a protest, but, you know, a large showing at the on the front steps of the Hall of Justice. You know, it was scheduled. And this is in the city of Muskegon. And I, you know, I could have sat back and said, you know what, it's in the city of Muskegon. You know, you guys can handle security and do all that kind of stuff. But it was held in the parking lot of the Hall of Justice right in front of our Protector's Memorial. And so it's at my front door. Okay. Even though it's in the city. Mm-hmm. So we hung out that day, when the protest was going on, and, my admin staff was there with me, and, you know, we were standing at the front entrance of the Hall of Justice, listening to that group out there, and you could feel it. You could hear it. Mm-hmm. They're getting angry. And we've seen what happened in other cities mm-hmm. that was going on. And let's go talk to them. I said, that's how I remember looking back. So we walked out there, and there were some people that were kind of perched up by the memorial, kind of getting the group together. And I climbed up behind them and got a little, I wanted to be more elevated than that person was to get everyone's attention. And it worked out, and I did get their attention. And, you know, it was, you know, we, as a law enforcement group, and I say that, you know, I guess I don't want to talk nationally, right? But that's how I look at this. You know, nobody agrees with what it was going on, right? And the things that happened. And so we just, you know, I let them know that, you know, it's because the one thing that's important, I support, obviously, their right to protest. Okay. But we're going to do it peacefully, right? It's going to be good. And we're going to have, and so, you know, I spoke to for a few minutes. You know, it's, we got the group's support, right? Because we were there to support them. Mm-hmm. And when the whole group, you know, they started their march and started circling. And I remember getting with my admins, I mean, right down, I'm looking at what's going on. And I'm like, all right, we're gonna walk, but let's walk the other way so we can look everybody right in the eye, right? And mm-hmm. thank them for being there, mm-hmm. Helping them support their right to protest. Mm-hmm. And I think really getting right into the community like that and the people that were there, because there were some people there that weren't necessarily from our community, mm-hmm. Was, you know, just a great show of support. You know, it's, you know, wrong is wrong, right's right. And it's pretty clear. So.
Sure. Two things I want to ask you. One, can you talk about hiring in the department? One, what does it take to become a sheriff deputy? And two, efforts for hiring female and minority officers?
Yep. So we've, you know, we have, there's two different hiring practices, but certifications that are required if you're going to come to corrections or law enforcement, right? An individual that wants to come be a police officer. And I say that I'm the guy on the road driving the police cruiser, one of our deputy sheriffs. You know, you're going to have to attend, and typically most of the police academies require an associate's or a bachelor's degree prior to getting in there. And that's about a 12 to 15 week program that you're going to go through at a university somewhere. Over the last year, now we're in our second year with doing it, but the state has finally stepped up, the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Standards, where they're funding individuals, all right, to go through the police academy. Typically you had to bring that training with you. All right. When you applied for a job, it was required. And I'll tell you, the beautiful thing of this is right now is because I've always said this, you give me a good person, I can make a police officer out of them. Mm-hmm. All right. Just give me a good person. Mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing is now is I can be at Wesco getting a cup of coffee and talking to a young man that might be working here and ask him, that, hey, you ever thought of a career in law enforcement? Mm-hmm. Right. And we created a, it's a deputy recruit position.
Okay.
So when you go through after your interviews, background, and everything gets cleared, we hire you, you get paid a wage, you know, it's a deputy recruit wage. Mm-hmm. The state, we get the money from the state, your academy's paid for. Mm-hmm. All right. We can pay for housing, meals, and stuff while you're there too. And then when you're done, you come back to the sheriff's office, and then you're going to go through a field training program with our staff. All right. Mm-hmm. And, so you learn about our computer systems, the roads, you know, and the policies and all that kind of stuff. On the corrections side from there, these individuals, we pay for the corrections academy. It's not mm-hmm. quite as long. Mm-hmm. And then when an individual gets out of there and then they come back, they go through a CTO program, corrections officer training program, from there. And once you get through those programs and what really worked out well is we have individuals inside in corrections deputies. All right. That I don't know if they initially thought about having a career as a police officer yeah. With the sheriff's office, but when the state started paying for it, well, we put a posting up, opened it up. Hey, any of you guys interested, right? Because now we have people I know that are vetted. I know I can count on. Okay. All right. They're here at the sheriff's office, right? Mm-hmm. And so that run really well. And we had a total of, I believe it was 6 individuals out of corrections apply, waiting for those. We have 2 that have already gone through and are, you know, working out, working on the road now. Mm-hmm. And really enjoying that. You know, we've, with the increases that, you know, I went, we currently have 116 uniform staff members at the, mm-hmm, sheriff's office. That's with command, corrections, law enforcement all together. Mm-hmm. From there. And when I say that, that's counting the 5 that are coming up. All right. Okay. So we have approved positions from there. You know, over 75% of the staff that's working inside the jail right now through retirements, have been hired by me since 2017. Wow. That are working inside there. Okay. You know, I did grab some numbers because, you know, we talk about, when you asked about different minorities and women, mm-hmm, from there, you know, they had I asked a captain to check. I said, hey, before this date, what was going on from there? And there was, in 2017, there were 16 minorities working at that time. Right now, since 27, 35% of those hired, 28 of them have minority status that we have right now.
And you have quite a few women.
We do. Yes. Oh, we do. I don't know. It was just National Law Enforcement, yeah, Women's Day. And if, yes, you saw all the pictures and stuff that were on there, yeah, they, you know, we actually have some outstanding leaders.
Listen, the time flies. Can you give the people out there, our listeners and our viewers, information if they want to write you that big check or find out more about your policies and what you would like to accomplish?
Yeah, if you are, and you know, when we talk about accomplish, the other thing is getting the agency, I put it under accredited, yes, being an accredited agency. Mm-hmm. That's another one opportunity right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, there's information on my Facebook page, reelect Michael Poulin for sheriff, or either my website on there, and that's just Michael Poulin for sheriff. It's very easy to find. Mm-hmm. There's a donate spot on there. You can do PayPal, or you can do, what's the other one called?
Venmo.
Yes, thank you. But any of that, you know, you can request yard signs on there still if you'd like. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes that available too. So it's, you know, this, like I said, it's been a very good campaign season. I really enjoy getting out and talking to the people, meeting the community. You know, especially back in 2016 when the time came to go door knocking, it was tiring and a lot of hard work. But I tell you, once you got doing it, it was a lot of fun. Nice. A lot of fun. Yeah.
Sheriff, thank you, yep, for being on the show today.
Yeah.
Listen, that was our sheriff, current sheriff, the incumbent. And you're watching and listening to Touring Into, our political show that we're going to be doing for the next couple months to make sure that we interview all the candidates available. We're going to take a commercial. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Touring Into with Melvin Burns, the twin. We are in political season, and we know we bring news, information, and more. But part of bringing news, information, more is educating you, the community. With that said, we are talking to people that are running for the county sheriff's office. We just talked to the incumbent. Please, who do we have now?
Our challenger, correct me if I'm mispronouncing, like Max Rixey? Max Rixey, who's the running for Muskegon County Sheriff. Well, good to have you here today. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell folks a little bit about you?
Okay. Retired United States Army.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. 32 years, Vietnam at the end, and Iraq at the Vietnam at the beginning, Iraq at the end.
Okay.
Iraq was hot and dry, and Vietnam was hot and muggy. I lost a lot of weight in Iraq. Okay. Retired United States Army Lieutenant Colonel, then 23 years Michigan Public School teacher, K through 12. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time in the Muskegon Public School System. In fact, one of my former students is the husband of Robinson, who's running for judge.
Is that right?
Yeah. Every time I meet him, he has positive experiences, you know. Okay. He said, well, I ran a tight ship, so I guess, you know, so he was positive about that. So
right.
It's a hard choice to make, you know, when you got something that my son and I like his cooking. He has a cooking, mm-hmm, band that sits up periodically. So I said, that's a hard choice to make when you got a fellow student, you know, pumping you up. My dad said, how are you gonna make a choice? That and Pittman has been around forever, you know, and I like them both, you know, so it's a tough choice. So any case, besides that, I'm running as a Republican, a big Trump supporter.
Okay.
Trump did a lot for the African-American community,
mm-hmm.
as you know. Didn't do a lot. Obama didn't do a lot. Clinton shipped millions of jobs overseas. I don't know if you remember that. I used to work at Campbell Lawn in Canada,
mm-hmm.
here in the Heights.
Okay.
And that was good job, defined pensions, defined health pay. And Ross Perot said if you pass NAFTA, which Clinton and the Republican Democratic Congress passed, you lost all those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that important? I was asked, what are you going to do for jobs for like the Heights, in Muskegon? Mm-hmm. And I mentioned jobs. Well, okay. There's a lot of jobs that went south, China and whatever, mm-hmm. so you got to stop voting for the SOBs in there. Mm-hmm. You keep doing the same thing and nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Trump is not, Trump is, is he a Democrat or is he a Republican? Really? You look prior to when he became president, and who was Trump? And I always tell people, well, before he was President Trump, he was Donald Trump. He was all over the place. He was a libertarian. He was a businessman first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's pro-American. And we got to do away with the immigrants, and we got to get them out of Muskegon County because they're competing for jobs. In a city here, Muskegon, and city of Muskegon Heights.
Mm-hmm. You said we got to get the immigrants out of Muskegon County?
Out of, not illegal immigrants.
Okay.
Illegal immigrants. Okay. Yeah. I'm an immigrant. I mean, my parentage is Dutch, German, and Danish. They were immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And English goes back a bit further. So, I'm glad you caught me on that,
Okay.
But illegal immigrants, let them come here the legal way.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you were retired and you've been in politics for quite a long time. What made you run for the sheriff's position?
Well, I got a call from somebody in the Republican Party and they said, we want you to run for something. And I said, well, I'm retired. I've run for state senator, state representative. And, mm-hmm. It gives me the kind of platform I like. And they said, well, we don't want you to run against your state representative. Congress is too big a hike to really get on the ballot. And I said, well, what else is there? And they made a list of things. And I said, well, the sheriff's department sounds like the best fit. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against the present sheriff. I think he's done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Other people in the Republican Party have disagreed with me on that and different issues,
mm-hmm.
different orientations. And being retired military, I think I can bring a different perspective to the office.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of those perspectives. What are some of the things that you would do differently than the current sheriff?
Okay, I don't. Well, first of all, plus up the jail. The food can be improved, as I'm told too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a good job in recidivism, classes. However, I think that we can utilize more of the jail space by bringing in prisoners from other counties and whatever. And with the associated income,
mm-hmm.
and treat people better. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. Well, there's been a number of things in a jail which could have been handled differently, and I like to treat people with respect and dignity, even though they're prisoners and some of them are hardened criminals. But once you're in the jail, you're doing your time, and you should be treated with respect and dignity. And again, have better food. Have a chapel in there. To enhance their spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member of the Fruitport VFW post. We have a person who visits prisons on a regular basis, and he talks to them about not only about drug and safety and other activities, but gives them some counseling and helps them, especially the veterans in the prisons, give them a more positive outlook on life.
Okay.
I definitely would have like the Muskegon VFW post, Muskegon Heights VFW post, come in and talk to the veterans there.
Mm-hmm.
And not other posts too, like North Muskegon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a lot of great people in the Muskegon Heights VFW post. I've mm-hmm. known some of those guys longer than I care to say, because we're World War II guys. I'm old. My son said, Dad, you're young. And he's 22. I said, well, he said, Dad, you're old. I said, well, you're young. But that's some great people. And sorry to see their passing. And not only in the Muskegon Heights post, but, throughout the VFW, but you got some good people, in the mm-hmm. VFW post, and that should be, people who are African-American should join that post.
Mm-hmm.
and bring them in and talk to veterans, and along with North Muskegon or whatever.
Right. Okay. So as you're out campaigning, what concerns do you hear about the jail, or what kind of feedback are you getting from people?
Well, they said that the jail could be, I don't like to criticize the present sheriff for running the jail, okay? But they said the jail could be more open when they make inadvertent, when things happen that shouldn't be happening in the jail, mm-hmm. and it should be more open. Mm-hmm. And I would have a more open process.
So clear open communication.
Open communications. And, my philosophy is 32 years in the military. I always told my people, I said, I want to know before anything happens, on the radar screen, before, everybody else gets it. I want to know. Not that you could dig yourself out of trouble or going to try and cover up, but, so I can find out what's going on and react accordingly, mm-hmm. And so give the correct information right from, there's a line in a movie where somebody, is president, and he has this drug dealer friend, and he's also the current president. And he said, Harrison Ford said, well, what happens, when this guy, tells you you're a friend here, they try to, try to dig you on that. He said, well, Mr. President, tell him that I've known the guy for a lot of years. Take the wind out of their sail. Mm-hmm. Be upfront, be truthful. And I think you go a long ways towards that.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the kind of jail. We're talking about seats. We're talking about safety. We talk about, you said, open transparency. What are some of the other things that you feel that?
I think we should plus up the road patrol.
Okay.
And according to congressional sources, anywhere from 10,000 to 50,000 Chinese Communist Party assassins and saboteurs are in the country. I spent time in Korea, military intelligence, dealing, and I know what kind of people these are. These people are hardcore. And these people are targeted to take out our infrastructure, electrical transmission lines, transformers, county water treatment center, natural gas terminals. And once that goes down, how long can you live without natural gas, electricity, water? Not very long. Okay. And we have a limited, we have a limited amount of road patrol. And if I can plus up the road patrol in the county by one or two people, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But one thing they should be monitoring, and they can't stake it out, but they should be monitoring, is those pressure points to make sure that we know if somebody is monitoring them, overseeing them, or looking at them. That shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Max, how important is it that that the sheriff be able to work with both sides, Democrat and Republican, because the sheriff has to work with both sides?
I think it's absolutely important.
Okay.
Now, I've been around a long time, too long, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm still walking upright. But we've had sheriffs that work well with Democrats and Republicans. From what I can see, the present sheriff worked well with both. We've had other sheriffs that more Democrat than really it should be. But it is a partisan office. I think it should be nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And I'm about as nonpartisan as you can get. I mean, you know me for a great many years.
Yes.
I get along with everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, somebody, and I'm probably not a great politician, but, I think I try to get along with everybody. Mm-hmm.
Would you talk about your efforts to hire more female and minority officers?
Well, if you read, did either one of you read the Muskegon Chronicle article that was in there?
No. We try to stay neutral and not
anything. Yeah. All right. Well, probably not the best source to get your information. Okay. But we won't go there. All right. I'm not the one for, my focus, has always been the military. And would be as in the sheriff's office is, professionalism, education, merit. Can you do the job? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Person said, well, we need more females, black Americans in this position or whatever. Well, you look back in some of these cities, and I think it was Baltimore, where they had five or six policemen in a van, and they beat the crap out of some guy, and five of them were black. Mm-hmm. So is that the answer? You know, I mean, you know, black policemen, where, you know, so you can have, just because somebody is, and it was a black guy who was literally practically beaten to death. So I don't mm-hmm. think that's the answer. You have to look at professionalism, and can a person be colorblind? And a lot of police are actually colorblind. You know, some shouldn't be there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But most of them, I think, are professional individuals in the county sheriff's office and city Muskegon police department, the City Heights Muskegon police department, and Norton Shores. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because they like that work and they're trying to do a good job.
But let me piggyback off of that question.
Sure.
Is that so many times that a lot of people that want to be police officers or be a sheriff is just looking for the opportunity to have a fair chance to get in the office. Would you agree with that? If the person is qualified to be that in that position, should they be able to be in that position? That's not a handout,
right?
Just an equal chance to be in the position.
Oh, definitely. I don't know if I've articulated that, but I mean, everybody should have an equal chance.
Okay.
I mean, there shouldn't be, I think we're doing better mm-hmm. that, you know, it's not perfect, but you know, mm-hmm. I, you know, there's a, and there's one individual that I'll reach out to, and I don't know where he is. It's Mario. You probably don't, he used to work at Preble, and he was a young black guy. He worked well with everybody. And he wasn't a bouncer, wasn't a strong arm person. And if Mario, you're out there, you know, look me up, you know, and knock on my door if I'm sheriff, okay? Because here's a person, it worked well with everybody. He related to people, black or white. And, you know, Preble, as you know, was Jackson Hill. That was a tough situation. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time in there. Mm-hmm. And I was always happy to see Mario, you know, around on the second floor. And he took care of a lot of dicey situations. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of people that, you know, I would encourage Mario, if you're out there, I don't even still alive. Last time I heard about my late wife, he was working at Penny's, whatever. And he mentioned to my late wife that, you know, say hi to Max for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of person that I would, you know, try and encourage to, you know, get certified mm-hmm. and, you know, get you know, become an employee of the city of Muskegon County Jail or Muskegon County Road Patrol. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because he is that, you know, the guy was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm. Max, I've known you for a lot of years.
Probably too long. That's okay. Yeah, I'm still walking upright. Okay,
yeah. You have taken the position to not stand back, but to get involved and to run. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, why do I run? And I get that question every once in a while. Somebody approaches that subject. All right. Most people don't want to approach that subject. You know, and that's a good question. You know, when I came back from Vietnam, I was doing vodka and gin, the highest proof you could get. Mm-hmm. Really, really tough stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, a lot of beer. I was, you know, I wouldn't have a liver today. And my student dwellings off campus were not the best, but to and from campus. And I don't tell everybody this, but you ask why. Okay. I passed this Baptist church. Never had a thought of, you know, attending it, whatever to it. It wasn't a Baptist, whatever. Mm-hmm. And one day in the afternoon, for no reason whatsoever, there was a car there. And I stopped by, knocked on the door, and I can't tell you why. I can't tell you my motivation. I can't tell you the Spirit of God was in me. Mm-hmm. There is no rhyme or reason for me stopping at that church, knocking on that door, and this guy named Reverend Kennedy, and I was saved right there, and then it saved my liver. Okay. And I'm alive today because of that. So why am I running? I can't tell you. God has not spoken to me. God has not moved me. I have not been, feel like a preacher or whatever. And I'm, old. And I, besides a few disabilities from the in 32 years in the military, I feel the motivation that this is my part that I feel I'm running. And I feel that God has told me, figuratively speaking, do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to a point in my life that if I got elected, it would savage my retirement. Okay. It wouldn't be good for my retirement, really. I'd have to get up in the morning, and do things, and my lifestyle would change. But at the same time, I'm putting out a message, and you probably read, my message enough times. It's consistent. I haven't changed. Mm-hmm. And I meet a lot of great people. And so I'm getting a message out, whether it's the message that God wants me to put out. Well, I pray when I go to church and upon occasion, I pray to thank God for helping me, fight for a revitalized Christian-oriented constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's how we were founded. Mm-hmm. As imperfect as it was, given that time frame, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
A constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. Democracies are bad. Look at a lot of the world. Democracies are bad. Republics, you have rules. And we have rules. And the rules aren't being followed now, or they're being subverted. And I think we were not founded as a, Christian republic, but a definitely Christian-oriented republic. And when you don't have the spirit of Christianity, God in your heart, as those old guys did when we were first formed, then you're going to have a decline in moral government, which I think we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I writing? That's the best answer I could give you.
Let me one more question.
Sure.
You have a military background. Do you feel that the sheriff still had some police background? Do you think your military background is good enough for the sheriff's department?
Well, I don't know if it's good enough. 32 years military. My last job in Iraq for 6 months was deputy commander for oil security of all of Iraq.
Okay.
And that entailed a 14,500 manned Iraqi guard force,
mm-hmm.
managed by a British expat company. We managed them. And underneath them, they had mainly South African mercenaries training the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved in all facets of that. The best time when I went down to their office and in the center of Baghdad, and our office was in the palace, and stayed there for a day or 2 days, and I ate really good. I did. Their food was great. The best steak I had was by a South African guy, the really best steak. They know how to cook steak. In fact, I went hunting in South Africa last April with my son, and that guy could cook good steak too. So.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we talked about with the previous candidate was the mental health issue. He indicated even currently there's about 70% of the inmates in the jail that have some type of mental health issues. Could you maybe speak to that issue and the concern with the number of inmates that seem to have some type of mental health issue?
Well, I think he has a program, and it was in the Muskegon Chronicle a couple of pages before when the article mm-hmm. came out. On both our candidacies. And I, definitely we, a one-on-one approach or, having people come in and talk to people in there is a mm-hmm. great help. The person that we have, he's now a trustee of the Fruitport VFW post, goes to the prisons, and he has a very positive effect, according to him and what he has related to me, on just meeting and talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's communication is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you follow me over years. I like to communicate. Sometimes people don't like me communicating, but it's better to talk, talk, talk than fight, fight, fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, people, I think you understand this. People like to say that a lot of the crime, they said, was committed by Black Americans. And they can define that down to it's 5%, the males and 5%, then 2.5%. But, I get some pushback on this. I said, okay, when you get the government to pay you not to work and you get by, what do you got to do when you get up in the morning or in the afternoon? Okay. People need a job. And I know it's not the the purview of the sheriff's department to get jobs, but that's why I support Trump, because if you look at him objectively, he's middle of the road. He's a hardcore businessman, to be sure. But I heard all the things about him being basically instead of a bully or whatever, and when he's running for office, that he's really a pretty decent guy, and he wants to bring jobs back. If you have a good job, good benefits, good pension and good health benefits, that gives you motivation to not do crimes and get out there and, you know, gangbang or whatever. And those opportunities are not here right now. Mm-hmm. They went under Clinton's NAFTA.
How do you deal with the citizens? How do you keep people from going back to jail?
Talking to them. You know, like I said, my VFW person going in and talking to people. I don't know the statistics about, you know, how many people he is, helped not go back. But I think we need to bring more people into the jail. And it's being done right now. I understand that. And talk to people like they're real people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. have opportunities when they get out. And let's face it, the job opportunities are not great in Muskegon Heights. Now, they could be a lot better.
Okay.
And they were before.
Okay. Another area we talked about, as the sheriff, do you think it's important for the sheriff to be involved in other community organizations?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Because the sheriff, the sheriff's main mandated by law is to run the jail. Okay. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Road patrol is expected. It's not mandated by law, as mm-hmm. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're out in the Ravana, Sullivan, Twin Lake area, they rather, you know, they depend on the sheriff's road patrol because they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to plus that up by one or two. But, you know, I think that giving that, the sheriff patrol has to, and I think has, and I would encourage more to communicate, and cooperate with other law enforcement agencies.
If elected, day one, what would be your first thing that you do?
Try to get organized where the Michigan Sheriff's Association, and get on board where they have programs to for a new incoming sheriff, whether you have a law enforcement background or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly would want to reach out to them and say, okay, probably beforehand on attending their classes, seminars, and getting plussed up there. Also, you know, meeting with, setting up meetings with the staff, you know, both two meetings, one to the for two shifts, both shifts, and get them to know me and answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden, there's a new sheriff in town. Okay.
Right.
And people want to know. And I don't think we've ever had a Republican sheriff. Mm-hmm. We've had Republican county clerks. We had Republican treasurers, but I don't think we've ever had a Republican sheriff. I don't know if you guys are too young to remember Pennington, but you don't remember.
I remember.
Well, you know,
I'm older than I look.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Pennington was, you know, he was pretty down the middle. I mean, you know, I never thought of Pendleton, and I met with him several times. I never thought of him as a Democrat, although I knew he was a Democrat, but he was a sheriff. And I think it would be, as a Republican sheriff, the staff would know, who is this guy? A lot of people know who I am anyway, all right? And they also, if they even follow me, they know that basically I haven't changed. Getting a bit political, I'm not like Campbell Harris, okay? That's a discussion right there. I mean, you know, and that's probably why I'm not elected, because, you know, I'm not trying to say anything and everything to get elected. I don't need the job, okay? I think I can do the job. I think I can do, a job with a different, more focused, perhaps, on certain areas than the present sheriff. Yeah, but if you go on with the present sheriff, things are going to be okay, I think, all right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, with all these communist agents and they're Chinese, and if they attack Taiwan, they're going to take down everything. And the people in the cities are going to be hurt. Muskegon Heights. And how does that affect the county sheriff road patrols? Because a lot of the natural gas, the transmission lines, the natural gas, the terminals are out there in the county.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember several years ago, Gretchen was coming in and said, don't use natural gas because the only thing we have is in the lines, the natural gas lines. because the terminal was taken out. We think by accident or whatever, whatever. But, you know, I mean, that's important. How are you going to react to that? How are you going to bring in gas or oil, diesel to run all the generators? You know, like the county waste, county water. I mean, the city, Muskegon City Water Department. They have generator backups. But what do they run on? Gas or diesel? So, you know, the county sheriff's going to have to say, well, if they bring in diesel to run those generators, I mean, at the county line, there's going to be a county sheriff there to escort those tankers to the, you know, the city water works in Muskegon. You know, make sure those thing generators keep working so you have water.
So let me ask you a question. Sure. If somebody wants to find out more about your, or donate or volunteer, how can they get in touch with your campaign?
Max Rixey, P.O. Box 82, Fruitport, Michigan, 49415.
Okay.
I don't have a campaign office. You could talk to the Muskegon Republican campaign headquarters off Seaway, but I don't think they have any information. I don't have any yard signs. I got a few 4x4 or 6 signs, but you know, I'm not putting a lot of money into the campaign, but at the same time, you know, talk me up.
Max, we want to thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
All right.
Thanks for coming.
Listen, the last word is going to come to me. Listen, we are here to educate you. I want to thank Max for coming on, representing the Republican side. We're not here to bash one side or the other. We're here to educate, to talk, to find out what the objectives of each side is. And with that said, that's the end of the show for this week. We'll see you next week with another race. I want to thank Max for coming in. I want to thank the current sheriff for coming in. And we're right down the road. You know, we're just asking questions. We're like responding and throwing our opinion in. We'll throw our opinion in later. With that said, my opinion, go out there, sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know who you might touch. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week on Torn Into.
Happy birthday, Benita.